I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
And John, we are recording this on the weekend following something kind of huge to have. I actually got a hole in one in golf.
That's impressive. What was the par?
Considering what a shitty golfer I am.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
What was the par? I don't know. Crap.
It was a par three.
Okay.
It was a par three. It was about 200 yards. If you know anything about golf, that usually means you're going to use an iron, like maybe a 9 iron, maybe a wedge, depending on who you are. I used a 4 iron,
okay,
which is not what you would normally use for that distance. But I'm the kind of golfer that it almost doesn't matter what club I use. I'm going to get about the same distance out of every single one of them. And it's going to cut to the left or the right and disappear into the fescue. So, yeah, it was kind of funny. There was a PGA coach with us, and I've noticed, like, the coaches always want to coach you, especially me. And normally I don't let them, but this guy, he's so nice, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he laughs at all my jokes, so therefore I like him. And he basically said, "Hey, can I give you one tip on your grip?" And I said, "Sure." And he kind of adjusted my grip on the club and said, "Try that." And I'm like, "Okay." And I hit the ball, and much to our shock, it went straight up in the air, and it went straight to the green, and it hit the green and rolled right into the cup, and we all just flipped out.
I hope that guy was taping that whole. What better advertisement for his coaching services?
I know, right?
He makes one adjustment, you get a hole in one.
And that's what he said too. It was hilarious. But we took a video as we approached the green. So there, I do have a video on Facebook and Instagram that shows our kind of approach as we're walking up on the green. You can see all of their balls are on the green, and then I just walk up and my ball's in the cup, which was just hilarious. And the coach is actually the guy in that video. It's CJ, and he's the one that's standing by the flag pointing down on the cup. So he was ridiculously excited.
Cool. That's well, congratulations on that. That's good stuff, man.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like shit this morning. I even posted on Facebook beforehand. I'm like, I'm playing golf for work tomorrow, and the funeral services for my back will be held Saturday morning.
I saw that and chuckled. And, you know, as we were planning this recording today, we had to make some adjustments to our recording time, and I was getting in touch with you, and then I saw on Facebook, I'm like, I bet he's not checking his email now. I should probably text him. And I was out at a concert last night, so then I didn't check my emails and but it all worked out, so we were all good today. But
yep.
It was like that kind of like, I bet that, because I don't know, I don't often, sometimes I'll like not check my email for a while either. I'll be out and about somewhere, so it's funny how connected we get, that we just sort of expect people to get right back to us, and you know, when they don't, we get mad. But I don't always get back to people right away either, so it's like we're all hypocrites is basically what I'm saying. That's what it comes down to. But that's cool, man. I know you got a lot going on in your life between work and you know, other things too, but how's everything going with creative things? You got any news to report, or are you just kind of humming along doing your thing?
Just humming along doing my thing. I will say that after our last couple of conversations about social media, I have curtailed my Twitter activity even more than I had before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm barely on it these days. You know, honestly, I would be curious to look when the last time I posted something on Twitter. I just don't even think to go on it. Once in a while I will, but I much less post to it. And Facebook, which, you know, we talked a lot about last time, and I still am considering doing those things. And I did, and thank you for the people who gave me some feedback about that on Facebook and Twitter. They were like, "Yeah, I'd like to see you post some book reviews," or "I'd like to see you do this. I think that'd be great." And I'd still like to do that. I think that would be a worthwhile thing to do. I just haven't yet tried to do it, and I haven't figured out the best way to do it so that I'm, as I expressed last time, where I'm not posting something and then spending the next day looking for likes. What I'm thinking is, if I do this, I need to be really strict about my time on it, because the last couple of weeks I've been really good, and I check it once in a while, but I don't check it every day. And I think that's healthy for me, at least anyway. And I'd like to kind of keep that going. So I don't know if it's a thing where I have to have specific times where it's like, all right, I'm going to post something and I can look at it for this stretch of time right now, but then I'm going to shut it down and not look at it for 2 days or 3 days or whatever, and then come back to it. I don't know. Maybe that's being too strict about it, but I don't like that feeling of looking at it for a minute and then 20 minutes go by. I think that's a problem that probably everybody has. And for right now, I'm doing a good job of not doing it. So, but I have not found the balance of that yet. Now, you post a pretty decent bit on Facebook, and it's all good stuff. Are you pretty good about controlling yourself in terms of like looking at the comments and the likes and all that?
Oh, God, no.
No. Yeah, I don't think anybody is.
No, you know, I check. Essentially, I get up in the morning and I shower and get ready for work. And I've probably posted a couple things the night before. And when I get to the office, it's not my whole job anymore, but part of my job is to open up Facebook and take a look at a couple things for the company. And I am an admin on that page and those pages. And it's inevitable that, you know, my stuff is there too.
Right.
And so I look through my stuff as well and go, oh yeah, cool. Such commented or someone liked this one or someone hearted this one or blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just part of the deal.
Yeah. I was having this conversation with my wife about it, and she was like, yeah, but you know, the good thing about it and kind of the point and the reason that you do it is because, yeah, then you want to kind of have a conversation with people in the comments. And I think that's healthy, and that's what's good about that. I guess it's just finding where your comfort zone is with that and how comfortable you are.
Yeah, well, you want to be sure that you go to the comments and you point out that anybody who disagrees with you is the problem and they're all wrong and stupid. And...
Right. Yeah. even if you don't have that, and I have to say for the most part, I don't. Most of the I don't get people commenting like that very often. And even if there's like sort of a whiff of some sort of, you know, just someone wanting to stir up an argument, yeah, I'm pretty good at just ignoring it and then moving on. Because they're people that I know and like, and it's like, okay, like, I just don't really want to engage with them, which is why, ultimately, I just don't even post a whole lot, because it's like, eh. Not worth it. But I think there is such an upside to it that you know, I would like to find a better balance. I don't want to just like not be on it at all, because I do get some stuff out of it.
And I think it depends on what you post. So I posted something that was intentionally targeted to get people to kind of respond a little bit. I posted a comical thing about the Senate Judiciary Committee arguing over whether it was wabbit season or duck season.
Right.
And I wanted to see, yeah, like, how many comments would that get? And that got a lot of comments and a lot of likes because people got it.
Yeah.
They understood exactly what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, we were in a recent episode with Murray Lafferty. We were talking about writing time and creative time, and we were talking about basically squeezing it in when you can, and that most people do not have the luxury of like 8 uninterrupted hours of doing whatever. And I find,
and when you do, you don't use it,
right?
Trust me, you don't.
Yeah, no, I get it totally. And but I guess my feelings about social media are that what I often, if I'm complaining about something, or if there's something, some kind of change I want in my life, it's usually centered around, I wish I had more time in my case right now, either to practice my instrument or to read. Like, those are the two things that are, in terms of my free time, that is what I would like to be spending my time on. And I just noticed that if you get out of that reflexive habit of just checking your social media, you can have the habit of reading your book. Like, that's an easier one, especially nowadays, because you can have your Kindle or you can have your app on your phone or what have you, or even if you're carrying a physical book around. But nowadays with the apps on our phones and stuff, you know, instead of looking at Facebook for 5 minutes, you can read for 5 minutes, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you do that five times throughout the day, then it adds up. And you find yourself knocking out more books. And to me, that's a better way to spend my time. And I feel better about that in the end than checking social media. Another thing I've been doing lately, as people know, I'm a teacher, and you know, I've been back at school for about a month now. And the way my schedule, last year I was lucky. When I had to take my lunch, I basically had the teacher's room almost to myself to eat my lunch in. So I had my book and I sat and I ate my lunch and it was great. This year, that is not the way my schedule is. And there are other people eating lunch. And I like all my coworkers a lot, but they're talking like normal people do when they eat lunch. You know, they're talking. It's difficult to read when 10 people are having various conversations. And I considered like putting headphones on with some white noise or some music. And I'm like, well, that's super rude if I do that. Like, I don't want to do that. So one of the things I've been spending my time doing is compiling my notes. As I've talked about before, I take my notes on my nonfiction books. And then I send the Kindle file to my email and then I print it out. And then I then take those and I transfer the best bits onto index cards, which I then keep in this box. So what I've been doing is writing my index cards, because I'm like, you know what, this is a good way, but if I get interrupted, it's not a big deal because I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just like, oh, that's a good thing to remember. I'm just copying it now from this page to the index card. So I don't need to use all of my brain function, and it's okay if I get interrupted because I don't have to go back a page or something. So I'm very happy that I figured that out, because it's a meaningful use of my time and I don't feel frustrated. Kind of like what we were talking about, Murr, as well, about how dare someone invade my time and my space. And this is my reading time. Don't talk while I'm trying to read here, everybody. So I'm happy that I'm able to make good use of my time. And, you know, if I get pulled into a conversation or elect to be in a conversation, that's fine too. But I'm happy about that. So are you writing at lunchtime still, or are you?
Yes. Doing other
things? Cool.
Yep. And there's with the iPad, there's been a few opportunities to read different things. And to your point, one day I had to, I forget why, but I may have had an abbreviated lunch because of a meeting or something like that. And so I ran out and got some food, came back, and we have this little cafeteria kind of, it's more of a kitchen, but they put in all these booths and stuff so we could sit and have lunch. And I sat in the farthest corner booth kind of thing, and I got my headphones out because I was going to listen to some music and I was going to read something for a few minutes while I munched my lunch. And as soon as I sat down, here came my boss to sit down across from me and start talking to me.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, it happens. And I am terrible with that. And it's something I'm trying to improve about myself, because yeah, you get all excited. You're like, great, I got 20 minutes or whatever you got, an hour or a half hour or whatever time you have. Like, this is going to be great. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to read. I'm going to write. I'm going to do whatever. And then, you know, your boss sits down or something.
That's why most days I leave and I go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I often think about doing that too. And sometimes I do, but, I like to bring my lunch and, you know, I know everyone has their lunch hour, but if you work in education and you have a class starting at a certain time, like, you can't roll in a couple minutes late. Like, sorry, everybody, I was out to lunch. And I'm sure people have meetings and all that too. But a lot of, you know, I think some jobs, your time is a little bit more flexible. If you have a class and you're late, that is a big no-no. So I often don't go out to lunch because I'm afraid of other factors, you know, slow service or what have you, you know, affecting how fast I can get back. And then I sort of feel rushed and I don't enjoy my lunch and I don't enjoy my reading. So that's usually why I kind of bring my lunch, because then it gives me a little more time to sort of sit there and enjoy my time. So that's kind of where I'm at now with all of that. And how are you, what have you been listening to audiobook wise? Because I've just gotten, now that I'm back at work and I'm commuting, I'm back on the audiobooks. That was slow going there in the summer, but I'm kind of picking up my pace. What are you doing? Are you still doing the Butcher books with audio?
I just finished them.
How many books are in that series now altogether?
14?
14, okay, quite a lot.
I want to say. And then you've got, you know, you've got the two, well, actually the three, I guess you could say. There's three short story collections.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, there's one that collects all of the Bigfoot stories.
Okay. Yeah, I think you mentioned that one recently.
Yeah, there's several. He wrote several stories where Dresden goes to work for a Bigfoot.
Mm.
And so there's a collection that puts all those together in order, which is kind of cool. And then he did Side Jobs. So the book changes, ends on a massive cliffhanger and plot point. And so one of the major draws for a lot of people in Changes was that there was a brand new story from Karen Murphy's point of view that takes place immediately after like the last page of Changes. And then, but there's a lot of other stuff in there as well. And then you had Briefcases.
Right. That's the one that we, well, that yeah. you interviewed him for, that I said hello.
Yeah.
And then
and that one has a couple.
Dropped out somehow. Mysteriously, the only time it ever happened with Patrick's favorite author on the show. Interesting.
That I can neither confirm nor deny that anything weird happened there. There was no Russian interference with that recording. But there's a story in that one that takes place after this last book. And there's also a story that takes place, I think, between Cold Days. Yeah, it's right after Cold Days. There's a Molly story. And then there might also be a story that takes place after Skin Job. I don't remember exactly. But anyway, so like chronologically, there's some other stuff out there that you can read or listen to. And then there's also, like, just going into Dresden shit, but Dynamite has all the graphic novels. And there's a graphic novel that takes place, Welcome to the Jungle, that takes place before Stormfront. And there's things like Ghoul Goblin and War Cry that take place between different books as well. So there's tons of stuff out there.
Cool.
If you're really into it.
Have you been reading those? I know you mentioned that you were using the Comixology app. Have you been reading some of the Butcher stuff on the Comixology app?
Yeah. And I already have a lot of the, well, not a lot of them. Well, I guess maybe a lot of them. But I do have the hardcovers of those graphic novels. But it's interesting to... It's just a different way to read them on the Comixology app. They're not all available in the Unlimited, but some of them are. I know Ghoul Goblin is, and I believe Warcry is. But like Stormfront, Volume 1, 2, 3, whatever, and Full Moon, those I don't think are as part of Unlimited. You have to actually buy them.
I see. Cool. Yeah, Comixology and using an iPad to read, I know that is a very real possibility for me at some point.
It's a great experience because it basically just gives you one box at a time.
Right. When we've had this same iPad for probably 5-6 years now, and it's basically just my son's, and it's got a stupid, terrible case on it that's got all sorts of boogers and what have you baked into it. So it's not a device that I use anymore. But I remember when we first got it, I got the Comixology app and read a little bit on it. And liked it, but never went very far. But I know It's something that I can see happening if I find myself having. Now, does Amazon own Comixology?
Yeah, I believe they do now.
So I'm assuming there's a Comixology app on a Kindle, if you have one of
don't
those.
Know. I don't know, but I know you can either create a Comixology account or you can log in with your Amazon account.
Okay. Yeah, so that means
which is what I've
imply
done.
That they own it. I can see that being a thing at some point. I like my Kindle Paperwhite, and that's one of my preferred reading, but I can sort of see doing that at some point. But yeah, that the comics are like a whole thing where like I know I would enjoy them. And I occasionally will take a graphic novel or, you know, one of the collections out of the library and read it. But that I haven't done it in a while, and that's a very limited amount of reading for me at this point. I was doing them a lot that year. I vowed to read 100 books in a year. I did that because and I did do 100 books in that year, but about 15 of them were graphic novels. So you could say I'm cheating.
Well,
I know you wouldn't say it, but I know one can say that's cheating.
But I feel like Comixology just makes it easier.
Yeah.
To get into those. And they have a ton of Marvel in the unlimited piece.
Yeah.
So the unlimited piece is you get it free for X number of days, and then I think it's $5 a month.
Yeah, I gotta look into that. You know, because that would be something I would be curious to introduce my son to. He and I have been reading the Harry Potter books for about a year now, or more than that, maybe even. We're still on the Goblet of Fire. We've been reading this damn book since like April. It's a long book. It is like three times the length of the first book or two. I don't know. I was like, wow, this is a lot. Like, we're still not done with it. Like, we're probably still 2 weeks away from finish. I mean, we only read 10 minutes a day. It's not very much. But even then, anyway, so we're reading the Harry Potter books, and we're getting through them. But it'll probably be another year before we finish them at the rate that we read them. But that's fine. It's a nice bonding thing with he and I. We like alternate pages and stuff. So it's good.
There's a couple of memes out there that talk about how, you know, how Harry Potter, Hogwarts goes through so many different defense against the dark arts teachers throughout the years. Imagine how much shorter that entire series would have been if Harry Dresden had come in as the defense against the dark arts teacher. Or imagine how much shorter those books would have been if Sam and Dean Winchester had been brought in to be the defense against the dark arts teacher.
Are those the supernatural characters?
Yeah.
Okay, I recognize that name. Yeah, no, that's what we...
Voldemort's a dick.
Yeah. Did you read the Harry Potter books?
I did, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know, so we're on book four, and it's a new defensive against. I just assumed there's always going to be a new one every book.
There's always going to be a new one.
That's just the pattern so far.
Oh, by the way, welcome back to the 80s. Murphy Brown is on television again.
I saw that too, yeah.
I was going to say, because what came into my mind, what popped into my mind is that the defense against the dark arts teacher is just like Murphy's secretary.
Right.
You're going to get a new one every episode.
Right. Yeah, so... So he's in the habit of reading with me, and it's good. And I wonder, it's like, I wonder if we got like some sort of comic app, if that, because he reads well. I don't know how much he retains in terms of like his reading comprehension is very poor, but he, you know, reads well. He's been able to read since he's like 3 years old. As some autistic individuals are, he is what is considered, or was at least anyway, hyperlexic, which means that he was able to decode words at a very early age.
Wow.
But he didn't understand anything that he was saying. You know, he could read you a sentence and come off like a genius, but he didn't understand anything he was saying. So, I mean, I think he understands better, but his comprehension is still poor. Like if you told him to outline the plot of the Harry Potter books, I don't think he would be able to do that. But we've been living with these characters for so long. I think he's got a good mental model of what every character is and their relationships, which is why I kind of keep going with it with him. I'm like, I think this is helpful to him, whether he can spit out the plots or whatever, or really comprehend. I think he understands these characters because now he's got, you know, a couple thousand pages under his belt of living with these characters. So we're just going to keep going, but it's going to be a while. But I thought maybe the comics might be kind of a good
thing
to do for him too. So
and the way that Unlimited works, if you go down that route, is again, it's $5 a month. You have access to thousands of titles, and a lot of them are graphic novels. There's also some single issues, right? Okay. So you can grab issues instead. And tons of Marvel in there. Lots of IDW, Dark Horse, Dynamite. So you got the like the independence kind of stuff. As an example, I've been reading the Buffy the Vampire Slayer continuation, season 8 and 9. That was in the comics. I went through all of the Vader stuff that you loved.
Yeah.
I've been going a little bit through the Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Marvel Star Wars stuff. And my main thing there is that they finally improved the art, because the art used to suck, in my opinion.
Yeah, the art's good. The art's...
And it's interesting that now any of the Dark Horse stuff is now labeled Marvel.
Really? I didn't realize that.
So if you go back, you can find things like the Thrawn trilogy, you know, the Heir of the Empire stuff. You can find that in there, but you can't find it under Dark Horse. You find it under Marvel.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I was going to say, speaking of the Thrawn stuff, that's the audiobook that I'm listening to now, is the second Thrawn book that... of like the new canon.
Of the new canon. Yeah. I'm looking at they did an adaptation of the Heir to the Empire books, mm-hmm. right? The original Thrawn trilogy. I will say I really don't like the art.
And now that's an older comic series.
And that's an older older. It was Dark Horse, right, from back in the day. I don't like the art in that at all. And so I kind of gave up on reading it. It was interesting for a little while, and then I was like, the art's just killing it for me. But there was something I was going to say as far as your son. I think he would enjoy the Marvel stuff. There's lots of other stuff that I think you would enjoy as well. Lock and Key is available. Saga is available.
Saga Unlimited. I've read. I'm not up to date on it. I think I'm about 2 collections behind now. You know, that when they put out the, you know, I don't even know how they, I don't know if it's like 10 issues or whatever, and then that goes into a volume that you can then get as like a trade paperback. But I'm behind. It's been at least a year since I've read those, so I feel like there's maybe been 2 collections released since I've last read. And I think that's break now too, I believe.
I even bought some stuff and had it in there. So I bought A Study in Emerald.
Okay.
Which is a alternate world kind of Cthulhu inspired Sherlock Holmes book.
Interesting.
That was really, really good. I bought Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 8 omnibus, because that wasn't available in Unlimited. So that gives me the entire season 8 to go through. And then I checked out season 9. What else did I buy? Dang, I don't have it right in front of me. There was another like 2 or 3 books that were on sale that I went ahead and got.
Hmm.
And now I'm blanking on what they were. But the way Unlimited works is you borrow the books. You do have to download them, obviously. But you borrow the books. You're limited to 50 books borrowed at any one time.
Okay. Seems reasonable.
And then you just have to return the book to open a slot to get something
right.
else.
Makes sense.
Because you know me, I did the exact same thing that I did with Spotify. I just started clicking on things and saying, oh, yep, I want this, until it finally said, you've got all the books you're allowed to have. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I got to start reading them now.
Yeah.
And similar to Spotify, like I found out you're only allowed to have, was it 10,000 songs favorited?
Are you
on the free account?
Okay, yeah, you still just do it. I'm really surprised you don't go ahead and just pull the trigger and pay the $10 a month on that too.
Well, and you and I were talking about it beforehand. So for our listeners' benefit, I'm going to be traveling for about 1.5 weeks. I've already got set up someone to watch the house for me, be a house sitter and a cat sitter. And I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to be on the road with my mom and my brother. And I was thinking actually about doing the free trial of Spotify for that road trip, so that we could listen to whatever the hell we wanted.
Yeah, because then you can also, and I think it works with most of the stuff. I know it works this way with Google Play, and I think when I had Spotify, I did this too, because I don't think this is a feature of the free version, but when you do the paid version, you can also download your tracks to your phone.
Yeah.
Which I would highly recommend doing if you're going to be on a road trip, because you don't know what your coverage is going to be like. And that mm-hmm. way it won't crap out on you. So like,
did you also know that you can download Netflix?
Yes.
To your iPad?
I did. I do that. I haven't done it in a couple of weeks now, but I was doing that because I have done a little bit of like, even if I went to visit my parents in Delaware a couple of weeks ago, and I just downloaded a couple of episodes of whatever I was watching onto my phone. And then like before I went to bed at my parents' house, I just had them on my phone and then I watched them, and it was great because it's mm-hmm. it's nice. So yeah, if you find yourself in a position where I never thought I'd watch something on my phone, but
right.
it's, I don't know. I don't know if I would do all my watching on my phone, but it's kind of nice to like, if you feel like watching TV at some point and it's just there and you don't have to worry about your internet connection. It's a nice feature. Not every on Netflix, not everything you can download. I'm sure there's rights issues and things like that. But anything that I've wanted to so far, I've been able to do that. So that's a nice feature as well. And yeah, and it's good for the music too, because then you don't have to worry about it. You know, you're talking about the comics, and I'm curious, I don't think it has started yet. It's coming up, and I know you have opinions about the trailer for one of their shows, but with the DC streaming service that's coming, one of the things about that is that comics are included, or digital comics at least anyway.
Hasn't that already launched? Because I've seen complaints.
Okay.
So that was the other thing in Comixology. There's not a lot of DC.
Right. Because I think DC.
And I think they've pulled it all. And the complaint that I've seen about the DC streaming is that the comic offering is really bad.
Okay.
Like, there's not a good selection.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know much about it other than, you know, I listen to Cord Killers, and I just am interested in streaming stuff. So when these new services come out, they've talked about that, and it seems really odd. It's like, we'll have some shows and some new shows, and we'll have you know, some catalog old shows and digital comics. It seems weird to put those two together. I get it. Yeah. Though I mean, it's
well, they're trying to build their content platform with the content that they have,
right? And I understand it. I mean, and if you look at it this way, compare it to Amazon and Prime. You know, when you're a Prime subscriber, you get all these things. Like, so I think what these
free ebook,
yes,
every month.
Yeah, with what these companies try to do is they want to make you feel good about your subscription. They want you to feel like you're getting mm-hmm. bang for the buck. So with Prime, it's like you get, it started out as just the shipping, but you get the video streaming and you get the music and you get some free ebooks and you get some, so it's really easy to justify your annual membership to Prime because
sure.
I know for me, like I don't even, that's out of the big three, Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix. Amazon is the one that I watch the least, but I don't ever consider getting rid of it because it's like, yeah, but we got the shipping and we got this and it's cool. And like, I watch enough on it. It's just, you know, there's certain, like, look, they have The Expanse now and they're going to be making new episodes. And so they'll be there for that. And I know the one that I do watch on that is, The Man in the High Castle. That's coming back pretty soon. So I'll watch. So I do, stuff comes up on there and I'm happy when it comes up and you can watch an odd movie there that you may like. So I like having Amazon. It's fine. And my son certainly uses it a lot, but that's probably the one that I use least. But because they have lots of other things tied into it, I never even think twice about that as something to pay for because they're fun. And I guess that's what DC is trying to do. But like an HBO and some of the other services, you know, I got to think they don't have enough content to really sustain that with a larger audience at this point. But maybe that's not what they're going for. So I don't know.
I don't know. But, you know, it goes back to what I've mentioned several different times, almost ad nauseum at this point, is that we're heading towards a truly fractured marketplace where anyone and everyone who has some sort of content system who has content is going to build a system to stream it exclusively, and they're going to preclude it from being included anywhere else, right. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So a great example of this is the announcement of the Led Zeppelin streaming service.
Is that...
Have you seen that?
No, I have. I thought you were joking. You're not joking.
I am not joking about that. Was it the... It's the 50th.
The 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary of something.
I did see that.
And they are launching a Led Zeppelin streaming service. And that's where you're going to be able to stream Led Zeppelin music and concerts and interviews. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
That to me is the ultimate example of this fractured streaming landscape that we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, so there was another one that I saw and I'm blanking on what it was, but it was essentially, oh my God, there was I want to say it was a single TV show, and it wasn't Stargate. There was a TV show, and they were launching that TV show's streaming platform or something like that. And I'm just sitting there going, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like is just that's where we're going. Everything is going to have a platform, and before you know it, it's going to cost you hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to get all the content that you want right now.
Right. And I don't know, and the counterpoint I always make to that is
that you can turn it on,
turn it off. That's one. And the other one is, yes, but if these aren't successful, then they'll go away. And, you know, we'll probably just get back to it being a couple of like, you know, services will probably join up again to make that to seem like there's a value there. Because if it's not appealing to enough people, they're not going to survive, and then it won't really make sense. You know, so with the DC one, you and I have talked often about Young Justice and how much we love it. And the next season of that is going to be on that DC service. I suspect you and I are both going to turn that on to watch it.
I don't know that I am.
Well, I probably will, but it's... You know, I mentioned it last time when we spoke to Murr. There's so much just for me to keep up with. Like, I got to start dropping stuff is what it comes down to. I can't just keep watching things because I watched the first three seasons because I don't even enjoy some of the things as much as that I used to. But we'll see when it comes out where I'm at, because I probably think it's like, yeah, I'll just turn it on and I'll watch it and then I'll turn it off and it'll be cool. But if I got like three other things that I'm super into that I'm currently, I'll just be like, oh, I'll get to it. And maybe I'll never get to it, you know, because that's kind of what happens nowadays because there is so much. And the point I was, you know, we've talked about the Disney streaming service. And one thing we haven't spoken about with it that has come out in the news a couple weeks ago is that, as we all know, there's going to be the live action Star Wars show. And as I'm sure you've probably seen, there's going to be new Marvel shows as well. And so it's basically going to be the MCU characters that have not had a solo film are going to get solo series. So the two that they mentioned is Loki and Scarlet Witch. And apparently is going to be those actors, Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen. And they're going to be short series, like six episodes or so, 6 to 8 episodes. And it's going to be, showrunner is going to be Kevin Feige. And boy, am I curious about that. Have you heard about that? What are your thoughts about that?
I did hear about that. And I don't know. I don't know yet. It depends on what the quality is going to be. Right, but it's going to cost them a lot of money to get Tom Hiddleston.
And that's the thing is that the news that has come out so far is like, oh no, we're going to spend a fortune. Like we're going to spend it like we're making a movie, and it's going to be 6 to 8 episodes. And I think, to me, because the complaint that you, the bell I keep bringing is there's too much stuff, there's too much stuff, there's too much stuff. Great problem to have. But to me, at this point, at least, and maybe I'm an unusual viewer, I think it's a better strategy to put more money into less things and make it high quality, because that's going to make me pull the trigger on the service more. So to me, the Disney service is going to be a no-brainer, because, like, look, you're putting a lot of money into a Star Wars live action. You're putting a lot of money into Marvel shows. You're going to have the Clone Wars. You're going to have probably other Star Wars related things too. Bam, I will sign up for it. Now, if you keep that content coming and spaced out, I'll probably keep it going. Maybe I'll turn it off, but maybe not. If there's enough there, that's fine. But to me, I think the higher quality is a better way to go. I guess we'll see what that, again, that service isn't to come until 2019, and I'm not sure when in 2019 that's going to be, but I'm sure I'm going to sign up for it at least to start, and I'm sure I'll watch those live action shows and Clone Wars and all that, and then we'll see where we're left. But I kind of get the feeling between that, and then I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good kids stuff on it that my son's going to be interested. I will not be shocked if that is a service that I will pay for month to month. I kind of sort of expect that. And I'll tell you how it is. And then if you like it, you can.
Well, and I think a lot of parents are going to be looking at the Disney service as something that they're going to spend the money on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. But especially if they have as much of their Disney Channel content as possible on there. Mm-hmm. Because like you've said with your son, we all know that, you know, kids will watch the same movies and the same shows 10,000 mm-hmm. times. They just watch them over and over and over and over and over again. I may or may not confirm that similar things happened, you know, with shows like G.I. Joe and Transformers and back when I was a kid. So it's just the way it goes, right? So I don't think that that's going to be a problem. But from the standpoint of the adult nerd with the disposable income, I'm looking at these things as they're getting annoying. They're getting really annoying.
Just to have to sign up and for another point, service, you mean? Yeah.
To your point, I have Netflix and I have Prime. And I wouldn't have Prime if not for the Amazon stuff, right? And by the way, in prepping for my trip, I took my camera, my SLR, down to Mike's camera because I wanted to get it clean because a little spot has developed when I start taking pictures. And I can't figure out where that is and how to clean it. So I took it over. And short story is they're not going to be able to clean it right now because they would need over 2 weeks, and I need the camera for this trip that I'm taking, and which is just like 10, 11 days from now. But while I was there, he talked me into an upgrade on my lens because I was still using the basic lens that came with the camera. And he started showing me this other lens and explaining the features of it. And I was like, holy crap, this is exactly what I've been wanting. And I just didn't know it. Right. Until I came in here and talked to you. And so, I bought that lens and I took a little bit of sadistic satisfaction in the fact that I paid for it with my Amazon Prime credit card.
Nice.
Cause I had signed up for that credit card when I signed up for Prime. Cause they do the whole, well, and if you sign up today for our credit card, you know, you'll get this purchase, you know, you'll get some ridiculous amount of percentage off, you know, by putting it on your card. So I signed up and I got that card. And I don't think I've ever used the card since, mm-hmm. but I went ahead and used it to buy this lens. And I looked at him, I said, I love buying locally with a Prime card. And he just laughed. But anyway, I probably wouldn't have Prime otherwise. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I go there and I watch a few things here and there. But like Coupling from the BBC mm-hmm. was suddenly on Prime. So I went and watched it. Babylon 5 on Prime. So I went and watched it. Battlestar Galactica is on Prime, so watch that. Expanse is on Prime. But my go-to is always Netflix.
Me too.
I like Netflix. I like the interface. I like how easy it is to find stuff. I like the suggestions that it gives me. When I go to Prime, if I watch a documentary on Prime, suddenly everything that it's recommending to me is now a documentary. It ignores the fact that before the documentary, I watched an episode of Babylon 5, and before that, I watched Coupling, and before that, I watched Chuck. It just now shifts the entire algorithm. It's like, holy crap, you watched a documentary. Here, look. Here, there's tons of documentaries. Watch all these.
Yeah, it's...
The interface sucks. Does, yeah. The algorithm sucks.
Yeah, and you think...
And finding shit sucks on Prime.
Yes.
And if you try to go to the website, it's even worse.
Yeah, you would think Amazon would be much better for that.
You would, but it's not.
Netflix is...
It's so difficult.
The one thing I'd like to see any of these services have, but particularly Netflix... Because I really do like Netflix's interface, and I think it serves up good stuff too. I wish it let you, you know, so you can have your My List on Netflix, which is basically anything that you sort of add to it. But there's only the one list, and it does a good job of sort of ordering it for you based on what you watch. So it'll sort of pick things. It's like, oh, well, you just watched Arrow, so you probably want to watch Supergirl next, and that's what I wanted to do. So it's, you know, it's pretty smart in terms of that. I wish it let you, because it has its own categories and it's fine. I wish it let you create your own like playlist. Not that you would sit there and like let it run or anything, but just categories. Because a lot of times, because my list has to be 300 things at this point. Because over the years, you see things like that looks kind of interesting, and I may want to watch that at some point. I'll throw that in there. Yeah. So there's stuff that's been sitting on my list that's been there for years that I may get to at some point, but probably not. And depending on how the algorithm is working, you might be in the mood to watch something. And I know you could just probably type it in and find it. But a lot of times you're like, you know, I had this thing, there was this documentary, and I was sort of into like the idea, and like, let me look through my list. Now you're like scrolling, you know, through 300 titles, and you're like, oh, I can't even find it. Screw it. I wish they let you kind of group it in your own custom way. Because what I would do is I would have, like, the one that I always think about is like the music docs and the live music things that they do have on there. And I know that they'll pop those up as its own category sometimes too, but I wish they let me just kind of create my own music docs playlist, because sometimes I'm in the mood to watch that. And I'm like, I know I saw a couple on here that were interesting, but they're all mixed within my list in like not a really intelligent way. And I wish I could just like look through those, that category, and find like, oh yeah, I want to watch this one now. I wish they let you have a little more control in that way, but there's probably a reason why they don't let you do that.
Probably because instead of, let's say there's a million subscribers. So instead of 1 million My Lists that their database would have to manage, imagine 10 million customers.
That's
a lot of data.
I bet that's a big part. I bet you that they like controlling what they serve up to you, and I think they do a good job with it. But I'm sure the algorithm is also based on what's going to keep them sucked in here longer. Man. And I'm sure that has something to do with it too.
It probably does, but I'm just from a data perspective, I'm thinking that that is an exponentially greater amount of data that would have to, that's going to cost them a lot of money to store and maintain.
I bet you're right.
Because I don't think anybody does that.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
not on movies.
No, there was like I Googled it to see if you could do it. And the only thing I found was that at one point there was like a website, and it was called like Flixtape, I think it was called. I don't even know if it was a Netflix feature, if it was a third party thing. Maybe it was a Netflix thing. I think it was just like a little lab experiment that they did, and it wasn't what you'd want. It was like, it was sort of so you could share it with other people. It was like, here's four movies that I like that you can share because you're my friend. It was like, it was nothing. It was not nearly what I wanted. What I want, you can't do.
That reminds me, have you seen that when you finish a book on the Audible app, it will allow you to send that book to someone?
Yeah, if you're, if like I couldn't send it to you because you have an Audible account already, so mm-hmm. it's just to someone that does not use Audible.
Yeah, but it's still an interesting.
Yeah,
feature.
I think so. No, and I've done it before too. Like my friend and I, when we both first joined, like we sent each other stuff and each got a free book that way, even though you know, we were already going to be signed up for it. So no, it's cool. And like, hey man, they want people in it, and with Audible, and I haven't really taken advantage of it, but Audible, again, same idea, trying to keep you in that app, and all sorts of like original content now that they're serving up, and they have like the podcast. There's a lot of comedy things too that look interesting, but I just never really get to, because between audiobooks and podcasts, I kind of have that space filled, but I've kind of seen a lot of interesting things. It's like, yeah, I could see that would be cool. They have like meditation things now and that kind of
yeah. The only thing is with both Audible and with Amazon, within the apps on iPhone or iOS, you still can't buy anything.
Yeah.
You have to go to the website, and that's on purpose, because if you sell something in an app on Apple, mm-hmm. Or on the iOS operating system, they take a cut, and I believe it's 35%.
I think it's 30, but yeah, I think it's 30%. And Amazon's like, yeah, we're not giving you 30%. So you can't.
Right. So there's still that little bit of lack of convenience. You got to go to the website and then load it onto your app.
I'm sorry. That was not the primary reason, but it is a nice benefit of using an Android phone now, because I can buy things in app. And that's nice.
Gotcha.
That's nice. Yeah, because that was a big limitation of iOS. And I just sort of got used to that. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I could just buy this book right now if I want. All right. That's cool.
So the other big news that's kind of running through the community right now is the whole changes to Google Chrome and Gmail.
Right.
Have you seen those?
I have. More from a cosmetic point of view than anything else. Is there any particular features or limitation that people are talking about?
They don't like the icons.
Okay.
And within Gmail itself, they've moved stuff. Not only did they change the icons, they actually moved where things are. Okay. And that is causing some issues, especially for me, because I'm used to going, it's almost like muscle memory. You're used to clicking on certain things to get certain things done, and those certain things have now moved.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed it cosmetically. Nothing has come up that has caused me issue yet, but who knows? I may try to do something and be like, where is that? That's not where I want it to be. So I guess I will have to continue using over the next couple of weeks. But cosmetically, maybe it's just nice to see something different, but cosmetically, I kind of like it a little better. I mean, I didn't have a problem with the old one, but it's like, yeah, this looks nice. It's cool, whatever. But yeah, I did notice that recently that the changes kind of came about. But mm-hmm. cool.
So for the benefit of our listeners, since we're about to start wrapping up here, I mentioned a couple times that I'm going on a trip. John and I have planned out. We've planned out and recorded 3 episodes. Most likely, those episodes will go live as normal. There is probably going to be on the 23rd, no episode, because I'm just going to be on the road and we're not going to have time to record and edit an episode. So, just letting people know ahead of time, because normally these things happen, we don't actually have advance notice to tell you.
Right. Yeah.
But now we actually do have advance notice to tell you that, you know, you're going to get 3 episodes in a row. This is the last of the episodes.
Yes.
And then next week you won't have
yes.
an episode. So
sorry about that.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yes, Patrick is going to be on an adventure and cannot be editing yes. and posting while he is on his adventure.
Which is why I have the SLR, why I have the new lens. And I'm going to be taking tons of pictures while
I'm cool. Well, I'm excited about that. And thanks for, I was going to ask if you wanted to tell people that, because I thought that was the right move. So thank you for announcing that. And like, look, the one complaint we get all the time is like, I can't keep up with all the podcasts. Look, we're doing you a favor. But no, we're sorry to miss a week. But, you know, it happens sometimes. And we do know ahead of time that we're going to. But then hopefully we should be back on track after that. So well, cool. Well, Patrick, always good to chat with you. I always enjoy our Just the Two of Us's and our guest one. It was nice to have Mara on recently too. We hadn't spoken to her in a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, so everybody, we hope you're enjoying it. And if you dig the show, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Thanks for the folks who already back us. We appreciate it. And Patrick, anything else you want to let people know before we get out of here today?
I will be, when I come back, I'm going to be at Mile High Con, October 19th, 20th, and 21st. It's the 50th. And I think everybody should come out and say,
hey. Yes. And that's one of the reasons we won't have a show on the 23rd, because Patrick will be there.
That is one of the reasons.
So there you go. So if you're over there, go and say hi to Patrick. It sounds like a real fun event. So hopefully we will we'll get going there. So, all right, everyone, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Cue Willie Nelson music. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Gunsmoke.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.